This is Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham. This past weekend, I moved to a new home, and amidst all the packing, lifting, carrying, stair climbing, and panting, I found two thoughts constantly with me. One, I'm old. The other, if I end up in the hospital, will there be enough nurses to deal with me? Okay, that second was partly because I knew the topic coming up on today's show, but fact is, those of us who qualify as baby boomers are getting older. And people are not only living longer, they're living longer with chronic health problems. So, my aching back aside, the demand for highly skilled nurses has never been higher. But take heart, there are stepped-up efforts to meet that demand, and three registered nurses-turned-Virginia educators are here to fill us in. Wonder if one of them could slip me a pain pill. Our focus on creating nurses, with your phone call invited, begins right after the news. Great to be with you. I'm Tom Graham, and this is Virginia Insight. A subset of healthcare is our focus, specifically two key questions. How sizable is the demand for nurses, and what's being done to meet that demand? If you have thoughts about that or a question of your own, you can reach us by phone at 888-WMRA-TALK. A bit later in the show, we're going to meet up with a person in charge of clinical training for one of the major health systems in the WMRA region. But we start with three registered nurses who all moved on to running nurse education programs at the college level. Kathy Hudson is Dean of Health and Life Sciences at Piedmont Virginia Community College. Pam Kalbach is Chair of the Department of Family, Community, and Mental Health Systems at the University of Virginia. And Julie Sanford heads up the Department of Nursing at James Madison University. Welcome all to Virginia Insight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, so these two questions, how sizable is the demand for nurses, and what is being done to meet that need? Dr. Hudson, by last name, you come up first in alphabetical order. So what's your take?
Well, as we were saying earlier, I think that the need is sizable, and I think it's only going to grow in the next 15, 20, 30 years for several reasons. One is that our population is aging, and older people need more healthcare services. And the other is, with the advent of Obamacare, I think that nurses are going to be playing a much larger role in providing healthcare services than we have in the past, and that's both in and outside of the hospital setting. So we're going to have a need. We're going to have a larger need. How we're going to do that, I think, is a question that we as nurse educators have been struggling with. We turn away a sizable number of qualified applicants every year, simply because our programs can't accommodate them. And one of the reasons is that there aren't enough qualified faculty. And the other reason is that the hospitals and the clinical sites are pretty much busting at the seams and not able to accommodate more students for their clinical experience. So, these are excellent questions, and we've got a lot of work to do in this area. I'm going to be quiet and let Pam and Julie chime in.
Well, I think, Kathy, this is Pam, and you have certainly answered that question really well. The baby boom generation is adding to that sort of aging population that we're going to have to deal with, and the 32 million who are going to be eligible for care in the future if Obamacare is fully implemented as planned. I think in terms of strategies that we are, from a national to a local level, really trying to think about creative ways to build the nursing workforce. And some of those ways, I think we just talked about ourselves before the program started. It's having a smooth transition from the associate degree level to the baccalaureate level, then on to the master's and the doctoral program. And I think our schools, even here in Virginia, are beginning to talk to each other more and accommodate that transition through affiliation agreements and through camaraderie and sharing of ideas. So I think we are working to increase the number of strategies to bring students through these programs.
And I would agree with that.
This is Julie Sanford.
This is Julie from JMU. And I would just suggest also that one of the reasons that we're struggling so much with the number of people who need health care is that we're all living longer and we have chronic illnesses that we're getting excellent care for, and they're just ballooning the number of people who need health care. And the Affordable Care Act also indicates that we need to have our advanced practice nurses providing care, and so that is going to increase the demand for advanced practice nurses. So I think nurses are going to have a huge influence in the future of meeting the needs and the demands for quality health care. I would agree with Pam and Kathy before me that what is being done is being very creative. I know in our institution at JMU, we are looking at all kinds of different models for clinical, meeting the needs there, trying to get our students into the clinical agencies at off times, whether it be weekends or summer intensives. We're doing everything that we can do to get our students into the clinical setting. And that's one of the biggest challenges. We also do have the nurse faculty shortage. And one of the reasons for the nurse faculty shortage is that nurses at the advanced practice level can make more in salary as a practicing nurse versus as an educator. So that's one of the reasons that we do have a nurse faculty shortage. We do have excellent faculty in our Commonwealth of Virginia, and I can only sing their praises because they've worked so very hard. But we do continue to have some challenges in that area, especially with specialty areas such as psych nursing. We have some problems with getting enough faculty in that area.
Now, I do not want to imply that any of you are old, and certainly none of you are feeling as old as I am today. But you've all had a significant number of years as nurses before you became educators. And if I recall correctly, Pam Kulbach from the University of Virginia, your first experience as a nurse was in the Navy back in the early 70s when you were treating military veterans coming back from Vietnam.
So you're really giving away my age.
Again, you're not nearly as old as me today. With that level of experience for all of you, but since I'm picking on you first, Pam, well, you can go first. What's different about being a nurse today than it was 30, even 40 years ago?
I think there are lots of differences between the nurse of 30 and 40 years ago and the nurse of today. But I would want to say first that probably the commonality or the similarities are greater. The caring, the compassion, what the young women and men who come into nursing bring to it, the reason and the passion for wanting to go into healthcare and take care of people and help people to become sufficient to take care of themselves is there. I think from my perspective, some of the things that are different about nursing is clearly the pace at which nurses have to practice today, the extremely short hospital stays. I'm a public health nurse by training and by education, and that is where I teach at the university. It's to public health nursing graduate students and doctoral students. But we really have a much, much shorter healthcare stay and much greater acuity. So our nurses have to be trained when they leave the university or leave the community college to kind of hit the ground running and to be able to deal with some of the high acuity and technological issues.
Right.
Kathy Hudson, I saw Pam catch herself there when she said women getting into this profession and then women and men. Is that one of the significant differences from 30 or 40 years ago, is that it's no longer a profession made up of primarily just one gender?
I think that we're moving in that direction. Clearly, I think men are still in the minority, but we are seeing more and more men coming into nursing. And I think there are a couple of different reasons for that. One is that nursing has proven to be fairly, for lack of a better phrase, recession-proof. So we're just coming out of a fairly significant economic downturn where a lot of people were losing their jobs, but not in healthcare and not in nursing. And so I think men have seen that, you know, nursing is a broad enough field and there are enough specialties that, you know, attract some of the areas that men are interested in. But I think primarily, too, they see that it can be a good, solid career and that there's room for professional growth. And with that professional growth, some salary increases. The other thing I think we need to think about, the difference between now and 30 years ago, is that women have many more opportunities now than they did 30 or 40 years ago in terms of being a professional. You know, I'm going to date myself, but when I graduated from high school and was looking at colleges and thinking about careers, there were really just two options open to me. One was nursing and the other one was teaching. And at that time, if you were a woman and you wanted to work, that was pretty much the two careers that you had to choose from. That's not the case anymore. Women can choose from a myriad of careers, and they do. But again, what we look at is that, you know, the stability of those careers. At the community college, we see a lot of people coming back for re-education and retraining because the careers that they had chosen initially aren't working out for them. The jobs have gone away or the pay hasn't increased to the level that they would like it to, or there are no advanced opportunities. So we see people coming back to our community colleges with bachelor's degrees, master's degrees, PhDs that are actually looking for the nursing education so that they can start a whole new career. And that's primarily where we're seeing our men. Our men are coming back to nursing after they've already been in other careers and haven't found them satisfying.
And this is Julie from Jamie, and I would agree with you, Kathy. One of the populations that we're really excited about coming back are some of the veterans, and that's a national push, is getting more veterans into the nursing career. And we're seeing an increase at JMU, not as substantial as I would hope, but we are seeing an increase. And I would just like to tag on to what Pam was saying earlier about some of the challenges from 30 to 40 years ago is the technology with electronic health records. And every institution, every agency has a different electronic health record. And also just social media coming out. And then just the complexity of the monitors, of the machines, of that really does put a stressor on nurses. I mean, they're very, very quick to adapt, and we're very flexible. So nurses do adapt to that, but it does add a different level of complexity from 30 to 40 years ago.
Our guests on this edition of Virginia Insight from the University of Virginia, Pam Kaulbach, from James Madison University, Julie Sanford, and from PVCC, also known as Piedmont Virginia Community College, Kathy Hudson. My name, by the way, is Tom Graham, and we have a phone line open if you want to join this discussion. 888-WMRA. Talk is the easy way to remember it in all numbers. It's 888-967-2825. You can also post a question or comment on our Facebook page where we are listed as WMRA's Virginia Insight. We got a couple of basic questions. We're looking at how much need is there for more nurses and what is being done, what should be done to meet that need. But any kind of ancillary comment or question or experience of your own, we'd love for you to share. We're going to be back from the break in just a bit more than 1 minute. RN and Doctor of Nursing Science Julie Sanford is one of our guests. She heads up the Department of Nursing at James Madison University. Sitting next to her, RN and Doctor of Nursing Science Pam Kaulbach. She chairs one of the major departments in the School of Nursing at the University of Virginia. Plus, RN and Doctor of Nursing Kathy Hudson. She is dean of a division that includes a nursing program at Piedmont Virginia Community College. This is Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham. And joining us now by phone is a registered nurse who is in charge of clinical education for Augusta Health, the hospital and medical center based in Fishersville, Virginia, Amy Haugen. Ms. Haugen, thank you so much for making time for us.
Thank you.
Well, so Amy, when you worry about all the responsibilities in your job, what's most likely to keep you up at night?
I think just being able to offer the correct education and train these new nurses that are coming out. You know, the Valley has a lot of quality nursing programs, and so we're looking at different schools with different experiences, and we want to try to capture those experiences and then be able to know where we need to focus more. So giving them the proper training to succeed as they come out to be a nurse in the actual field of nursing in the hospital, a little bit different than their clinical experience at school.
Does anybody want to tell me a story about a challenge as a nurse that you either experienced yourself or that you heard from a colleague that might surprise people, the kind of thing that maybe people don't realize that you deal with in nursing? There's this theory that if the host keeps quiet long enough, somebody will talk. I have this sense that from a practical viewpoint, there are probably lots of things that people in your profession deal with that the general public is just not aware.
Well, I believe, this is Amy, I just wanted to say that a lot of nurses, I think, and I'm going to speak general because I don't want to speak to a specific, they go into healthcare or to nursing because they're interested in the science of nursing, but they don't always realize the people aspect, and that really can't be overlooked. So I think when we look at nursing as a whole, as a career, we're taking care of people, but we're doing it through two things, compassion and science. So a lot of them may be looking for that science of nursing when they choose this as a career at school.
All right, let me give you a practical experience from my perspective and see if it jogs your memory. And some of this, I realize maybe you need to be politic, and there's some things that you just don't talk about in public. But it had to be more than 10 years ago when I was doing a story about some hospital, some other place in the country, when I was a reporter maybe in Tennessee or California. I'm old. I don't remember exactly when this was or where it was. But one of the things that the nursing educator at this particular medical center was saying that has really stuck with me is she's saying most people don't realize how much nurses have back problems and muscle strain from doing the work that we do. And we're expecting it's only going to get worse because of the obesity epidemic. It's not uncommon for us to see people coming into our hospital who weigh 300, even 400 pounds or more, and it's the nurse who's in charge of moving them, of getting them in and out of a wheelchair. And this especially struck me just a few weeks ago when I took a friend to an emergency room facility north of Charlottesville that's fairly new and noticed all of the new chairs in the waiting room were made for really wide people. So my guess is that what this lady was predicting 10 years or more ago has come true?
I would say yes. I would say we are experiencing more patients who are overweight. I think that there are some staggering statistics out there. We actually have a safe patient handling program at our hospital, and we use safe patient handling equipment to move and transfer our patients, and it is required for all staff to be trained. and we can't say that we can protect them if they don't use the equipment when they move these patients. And I think,
but some of the wheelchairs that I've seen, I don't mean to be rude, but it looks like you would almost need a forklift. One person cannot lift another person who's 400 pounds or more.
That's correct. When you're using safe patient handling equipment, you're looking at probably having 2 to 3 people manipulating the lift and the patient so that nobody gets injured.
I'm still operating on that theory that if I keep quiet, you guys...
Can I tell you one thing? I'm going to give you a staggering statistic. In an 8-hour shift, the typical nurse will lift close to 3,600 pounds, which is whatever that comes out into tons. Average weight of a car in an 8-hour shift is what we are lifting on a daily basis.
Amy Haugen at Augusta Health, what do you have to train nurses for that they don't expect?
Well, we have to train them for, you know, the emergent situations. You know, you plan your day, you prioritize, you organize, you think everything's going to go smoothly. You have a code. You do have to prepare them for death. Most have not experienced that coming into, you know, the practice environment unless they've had a personal family member. So preparing a new nurse to experience a death of a patient for the first time, and some of the things that come with that, preparing the body as well as organ donation and all of the things that encompass that, as well as being what we're just talking about, some of the safe patient handling, moving patients, being prepared for everything not to go as expected in their daily routine.
Do nurses get the respect they deserve?
Sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it depends on who you ask. I mean,
just to make sure that Amy heard the question, do nurses get the respect they deserve, was the question, Amy.
Okay, I'll let somebody else answer.
Well, this is Julie from JMU, and I would say that nurses get more respect now than that we ever have before. Mm-hmm. As more individuals are seeing us as professionals and not just as the doctor's handmaiden, that definitely we're getting more respect. And I think the impact of nursing on healthcare is tremendous. And we are there for patients. We're patient advocates. Research has shown that that nurses have a direct impact on patient health care outcomes. So, yeah, I think we're starting to get more and more respect. Is it what it should be? Probably not, but it certainly has improved.
And this is Pam from UVA. I would add that nurses are getting respect, but they also sort of are one of the most trusted of the health professions.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. that's something
actually,
that
actually, they're the most trusted. I mean,
right.
did survey after so, survey.
They
the
are the
most trusted.
Right.
And it is the person in a health profession that the general public and patients specifically seem to say that they feel most secure with, that they feel most confident in their level of caring. Am I getting that right? You're nodding your head.
Yes, I think you're getting that right. And I think it speaks to sort of a whole area of nursing that we're not addressing, and that is the intellectual aspect, the cognitive aspect, the interpersonal aspect, all the things that we have to teach students from the baccalaureate through to doctoral education about sort of the psychology, the sociology, the behavioral aspects of interacting with people and helping them to understand health and illness in the context of their own day-to-day lives and helping them to move from point A to point B to see recovery and to see a healthy environment. I haven't jumped into this conversation about, you know, patients in the hospital because my background is public health, and the whole public health scene is clearly one that's focused on problems like obesity. It's viewed as a public health problem, but from childhood through to adulthood, and one that public health workers are trying to work on through interventions, early interventions to help modify parenting styles, to help modify behavioral choices, food choices.
I apologize for interrupting. I do want to give you a chance to speak more about that, but we had promised Amy that we would not keep her on the phone too long because she has a busy schedule. So Amy Haugen, Clinical Education Coordinator for the medical center known as Augusta Health, thank you so much for carving a few minutes out of a very busy day to spend with us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Amy.
Hi, Amy.
So Pam Kulbuck, explain the basics of what a public health nurse is. You treat poor people?
Public health nurses treat the population or the public. They're really nurses who are behind the scenes in many, almost every community in the country has a local health department. And then those health departments are structured in different ways across states and up through the national level to have to design programs, policies, procedures to help promote the health of the population. So a public health nurse does that sort of broad-based assessment of a community or population to find out what their dominant needs are, what the areas are that are most important to that population that they might want to focus on and want to work on. And they also design policies and programs to help assure that there is a workforce to be able to provide some of those services. If public health is working well, you don't see the evidence of it. It's oftentimes sort of behind the scenes and invisible. We need to make public health more visible so that people are aware that they're being protected on a day-to-day basis.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, they're being protected on a day-to-day basis by public health nurses and public health workers.
I just wanted to do this for the sake of anybody who just tuned in.
Okay.
Pam Kulbuck, whose voice you were just hearing, is the Thomas Professor of Nursing, a professor of public health science, and chair of the Department of Family, Community, and Mental Health Systems at the University of Virginia's School of Nursing. Julie Sanford is head of the Department of Nursing at James Madison University. And with us by phone, Kathy Hudson. She is dean of the Division of Health and Life Sciences at Piedmont Virginia Community College. And within that division is a nursing program. Kathy, speaking about people's specialties, you got into nursing pretty much from the beginning with an interest in aging populations.
That's right. The way I got into nursing was kind of, I guess, through the back door and as a second thought. I talked a little bit earlier about the choices of being a nurse or a teacher when I got out of high school. Well, I went the teacher route, but because of the way my husband and I moved around from state to state, it was hard for me to get a teaching license. So in order to bring income in, I took a job as a nurse's aide at a long-term care facility in Oregon and actually was trained on the job as a nurse aide. So that was my introduction to nursing. I fell in love with working with older people, because of their life experiences, but also on an intellectual level because you have all of the aging complexities that go on physiologically, and then overlaid on that are chronic illnesses, and then overlaid on both of those are acute care illnesses. So I found taking care of older people extremely challenging intellectually, and pretty much, until I went into nursing education, have been working with the older population and just found them to be, older people just to be fascinating.
Julie Sanford, to be a nurse, do you have to like being around sick people?
There are nurses who work primarily in preventive care, but I would say that it's not so much that you like being around sick people as much as you like helping people get healthier. Sometimes we do help people to experience a quote unquote good death, but I think it's more that you like people versus, quote, sick people.
This is Kathy, and I tend to agree with that, and harking back to earlier part of the conversation, we always say that nursing is both an art and a science, and the art part of nursing is the interpersonal communication and the caring and the empathy that we're able to show our patients while we're taking care of them. And so you have to be comfortable with people who are not experiencing the best times of their life. And with that comes, you know, people who are cranky because they don't feel well, or who aren't able to communicate exactly what's wrong with them or where they don't feel well because of dementia or a mental health issue or whatever. So you really have to, you know, feel like you want to make a difference in somebody's life when they're not at their best. And I think that's the art part of nursing, is being able to do that and to do it well.
Even if you just tuned in, you can tell that we're talking about the challenges of nursing. But we're also talking about the challenges of finding enough nurses for a critically growing need. If you have any thoughts you'd like to share, we'd be happy to hear from you. 888-WMRA-TALK. Let's go next to Shenandoah County. Lee, thanks for joining us. Your question or comment for Pam Kaulbach, Julie Sanford, and or Kathy Hudson, please.
Yes, thank you. I was just wanting to address what your guests were just talking about, the part of empathy as far as nursing goes. My wife has done a little nursing. She never was an RN, but my mother-in-law recently had a stroke, and she's now in a local nursing home. And the part about being able to empathize with somebody that maybe, as your guests were, I guess, just saying, that's not in the best shape, maybe not as communicative as you would like, but there's, as your guest was saying, an art to nursing, of being able to put yourself in somebody else's shoes, the kind of hands-on thing, because nurses are probably the most trusted people. You know, the doctor makes his rounds a couple of times a week, but the nursing staff is really who are boots on the ground here, and I'd listen to your response offline. Thank you.
I agree, Lee, and I appreciate your comments. This is Julie from JMU, and I would just add that we've all been ill at some point or another, or we've been with our family members in the hospital. And as someone who's, my father recently passed away, the most impactful people were the nurses. And sometimes we forget what it's like until we are in that situation. But I can tell you that from my experience as a family member, not as a nurse, but as a family member, that it, had it not been for the nurses, my father's death would not have been the, and you know, if you have to think of a death being quality death, but it would not have as gone as well as it did. And I'll be forever grateful for the nurses who helped my father and our family.
In the wide range of professions in healthcare, not just doctors, but medical technicians, nurse practitioners, I can't go through all the list, because my brain isn't working well enough to give you all of them. But I think you've all established that nurses are known for their compassion, and that it's something that nurses intend to bring to their profession. So since we're going to go to the break, you're going to get a minute to think about this. But I really want to hear from each of you when we get back why you think that is. Why is there not similar levels of compassion, or at least people in other aspects of healthcare known for similar levels of compassion? Kathy Hudson is the Dean of the Division of Health and Life Sciences at Piedmont Virginia Community College. Julie Sanford is head of the Department of Nursing at James Madison University. And Pam Kaulbach is the Thomas Professor of Nursing, a professor of public health science, and chair of the Department of Family, Community, and Mental Health Systems at the University of Virginia. I'm Tom Graham. This is Virginia Insight. If you want to join our conversation, we've got the phone line open at 888-WMRA-TALK. So let's talk about what sounds to me like a compassion gap. Whether you're dealing with a physician assistant, a radiologist, an MD, none of them have the reputation for being as kind and nurturing as nurses do. Are the other guys getting a bad rap, or is it just that you guys are that wonderful? Kathy Hudson?
Yeah, well, actually, I think that it's the way we interact with our patients. And you know, I don't think that anybody's getting a bad rap or a good rap, so to speak. But as I was saying a few minutes ago, we interact with people in very intimate situations, you know, providing very personal and basic care. And I think that that creates an entirely different kind of a relationship with our patients. Plus, we're with them all of the time. I mean, you know, nurses are assigned to provide care to patients 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day, whatever the model is. And so we're there day in and day out with the patients, where if they're interacting with somebody to get an x-ray, you know, they're in and out in 10 or 15 minutes. And that may be the only time they interact with that individual. So, I just think it's a different kind of relationship just because of what we do and how long we're with the patients.
Kathy, this is Julie. I would agree with you. I do want to say, though, that our colleagues in the other health professions are compassionate and kind and caring. But it's like you said, Kathy, we are with them for longer periods of time and have more contact with them.
I would agree, Julie. I was going to say the exact same thing. There are therapists and physicians and social workers, all of whom have sort of a great deal of compassion and people skills and the ability to work.
It sounds to me like you're talking about individuals, though. As a group, those professions do not have the reputation that, as a group, your profession does.
I think, this is Pam from UVA, I think some of that has to do with our history. From the very beginning, nurses were focused on the caring for patients and families and the needy. You asked me earlier, you know, does public health deal with the vulnerable or the needy? And that's how nursing got its start years, you know, hundreds of years ago. And I think that part of a history and that part that's sort of at our core, this caring component, has stayed with us and has evolved and emerged. And today at the University of Virginia, we actually have a focus on compassionate care and contemplative sciences, and are trying to teach strategies to our students as well as to providers, nurses and non-nurses, about how to build a kind of resilience and an inner strength and an ability to deal with all the high-tech frustrations, the challenges of the workforce and the work that they're doing. And we're learning that you can actually teach compassion and help people to become more compassionate.
Wow, I really want to hear more about that. But we have Ralph here, who's been waiting on the line for a bit. So we're going next to Folks Run. Ralph, thanks for joining us. Your question or comment for Pam Kulbach, Julie Sanford, and or Kathy Hudson, please.
Yes, thank you. Earlier, a statement was made about utilizing the skills and the resources of our veterans coming back from the wars in Vietnam and in Iraq. And my thought was that many of these people were EMTs over there, or were at least put in the position to perform incredible work, and they learned so much. And my understanding is that when they come back here to be certified as an EMT, which is certainly part of the certification for being an effective nurse, that they are not in any way fast-tracked. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if there's something wrong with the way we judge people's skills, and whether this wonderful resource of people who have learned so much is not being utilized to its greatest effect.
Kathy Hudson, any view on that?
And actually, you bring up a very good point, and it's something that, you know, we look at, especially with the veterans coming back. And my response is that when you're looking at an EMT or a paramedic specifically, they're taught very specific skills, and it depends on the level. The basic EMT is taught some skills, and they have some protocols that they follow when they implement those skills. And then as they become paramedics, those that skill base and those protocols expand, and they're trained to provide what we call pre-hospital care. So they're very emergent situations. Nursing, while nurses do work in emergency rooms and whatever, they're not. We don't really train people to work at the pre-hospital level, but primarily the hospital level and the community level. So there's a different kind of a mindset there in terms of the kind of care that nurses provide. And our challenge, and quite frankly, we need to be more aggressive about this, is to take the skill set that the EMTs bring, especially the veterans, and help them incorporate that into the systematic way that we train nurses to think. So it's not just a skill-based profession that nurses are doing, but it's they're looking at what we call the nursing process. It's a whole assessment and planning and evaluating process, and the skills are things that we kind of pull out of our bag of tricks, for a lack of a better phrase, to actually get to those goals and objectives that we've set for the patients. And we're looking at it at a more long-term care level, where long-term could be 2 or 3 days or, you know, 24 hours, where the EMT is looking at 10 or 15 minutes or, you know, however long it takes to get that person to the emergency room or into an acute care setting.
Well, thank you so very much for such a great question. I really appreciate you taking time to get to be with us. I will mention, in case this is of interest to you, Ralph, or to anybody else listening, that Virginia's newest U.S. Senator, Tim Kaine, as his very first piece of legislation proposed in the U.S. Senate, got bipartisan support, was approved earlier this year by both houses of Congress, and that is to sort of fast-track credentialing for military veterans in whatever field that they're in, where the federal government feels that the experience that they've had and the training that they've had is somehow equivalent to training needed in civilian life. And that certainly could, Ralph, spill over into the issue that you were talking about. We're going next to Charlottesville. Joan, thank you so much for joining us. Your question or comment, please.
Okay, thanks. It's good to hear about nurses. I'm an old horse here. I graduated 55 years ago, 3-year program. We did a lot of practical experience, learned an awful lot.
You might be even older than me, Joan.
I'm older than everybody. But anyway, I've been patient too recently, and what I am really concerned about, I'm getting old now, not so much for me, but the rest of the people get really young. Nurses are getting further and further away from the patient, the professional nurse. I've noticed that a lot of the care now is given by non-professional nurses or aides. I don't know if that's the best thing that can happen. I think doing away with that 3-year program, now I'm really going back like an old woman, that even the hospitals realized that was a bad thing, because we got such intensive on hands. We worked in the OR. We knew our sterile technique. I still, you know, practice it at home. They think I'm crazy here. You know, that's dirty. Don't touch it. But we got all that stuff ingrained in our heads, and we worked with doctors hand-to-hand. We did dressings. But you know what I'm saying? The nurses today, they're very well educated in school. But I've talked to some of them, and they really are not very happy that they didn't get the practical care, because when they get to a patient, you know, how do I do this and how do I do that? So I'm worried about that. I'm worried about the future, and I'm worried about nurses getting – professional nurses getting further and further away from the bedside. And I see it as a patient. I've been a patient. And I think there's nothing like the RN, whatever, BS, QSR. I mean, they all, you know, everybody has to have a degree. The degrees are fine, but there's nothing like a professional nurse being with a patient a good deal of the time. And they're not anymore, because I've seen that being. So that's all I'm going to say. And I hope it gets better. I want to see more nurses in hospital with patients.
You know, Joan, I got to tell you, any other guests that we've had on any other topic would have jumped in the middle of what you were saying, because I know all of our guests have something to say,
but we
got nurses and they're excessively polite.
Hey, you know what?
So let's give them a chance to jump in. I'll be the rude one to ask you to stop for a moment. No, Joan, I need you to stop for a moment so now we can get one of the polite people to get in.
Uh-huh. Well, this is Pam from UVA. And Joan, I'm sorry that you've had that experience where you haven't, you know, observed the nurse of today being there at the bedside to be able to provide care for you. I think our goal in education is still the goal to get the nurse as prepared as possible to work out in the hospital setting or in the community setting, but hand in hand with patients. And different systems of care, the way care is organized with care extenders like aides and such, can be utilized in a variety of, I guess, a variety of ways in a variety of settings. But
one of the things Joan seems to be saying is the sense that nurses, if I'm not putting words in Joan's mouth, are overeducated and maybe get too much focus on the technical aspects, the scientific aspects, the keeping track of the newest medical technology aspects of the job. Both of you here in the Insight studio, Pam Kulbach and Julie Sanford, run 4-year baccalaureate training programs for nurses. Kathy Hudson at Piedmont Virginia Community College, yours is a 2-year program. Is there any difference in what somebody ends up in terms of the quality of care that they give? Because for both the 2-year program and the 4-year program, nurses-to-be sit for a registered nurse license, and once they pass it, they have RN after their name. Kathy?
You're right. I think that, you know, from the community college perspective, one of the things that we focus on is primarily the nursing education. We certainly provide, you know, what we call general education, the basic sciences, anatomy and physiology, microbiology, English, sociology, and those kinds of things, but not to the extent that the 4-year schools do. And our goal at the community college is actually to prepare our graduates so that when they do go to work, that they can hit the floor running with a lot of clinical experience in our program. But I also know that talking to hospital HR people, what they'll say is that the community college nurse probably can hit the floor and get accustomed a little bit easier than the 4-year graduate, and that lasts maybe 4 to 6 months. And then after that, the baccalaureate nurse catches up, so to speak, and then excels because of the additional education that he or she may have. But I think that, you know, Carol's question is a valid one, and we need to, I think, especially as we're starting to experience and continue to experience the shortage in nursing that we've seen, is that we need to make sure that we as nurses don't stray too far from the bedside and have the care, the basic care provided by care extenders. And that's going
Excuse
back
me
to
for interrupting you now, Kathy. I'm interrupting you, but we're almost out of time.
Okay.
And we started with two key questions at the top of the hour. How sizable is the demand for nurses and what's being done to meet that demand? You've all been very helpful, especially with the second question. I'm a little curious if any of you have specifics about the first. Does anybody know how many more nurses we need than we actually have today, or projections from what that need's going to be 10 years, 20 years down the line? Pam Kulbach, it looks like you're looking at pieces of paper. So
I am. And there are a number of studies that have come out that have talked about some projections and some estimates.
Do we have any sense of how short sort of hospitals are on nurses today? Or
who will care for each of us? America's coming of age during the health crisis.
You're reading the name of a study.
Right. And it's saying that the ratio of caregivers to people is decreasing from now until 2030 by almost 40%. So I don't have the exact numbers, but there is data out there that's showing that the population increase, but yet the increase in the nursing population are not growing simultaneously, and we're going to have an even greater decrease by 2030.
Speaking of new reports, Julie Sanford, yes. Quickly, because we've only got a few moments left.
Okay.
There is a new report that is encouraging more of a push towards four-year educations.
Right. There's some research
nurses.
That shows that mortality rates are improved with hospital staffs when they're staffed primarily with baccalaureate-prepared nurses. So the Future of Nursing report encourages us to get 80% of those nurses prepared at the baccalaureate level by 2020. And many, many programs, including ours that Jamie and the others represented here, are working to do just that, to get
I'm
our
sorry,
nurses.
I'm sorry, we are out of time. Our guests have been Julie Sanford, head of the Department of Nursing at James Madison University, Pam Kaulbach, chair of the Department of Family, Community, and Mental Health Systems at the University of Virginia, and Kathy Hudson, dean of Health and Life Sciences at Piedmont Virginia Community College. Plus, earlier in the broadcast, Amy Haugen, clinical education coordinator for the medical center known as Augusta Health. Thank you all so much for making time for us.
Thank you.
You can find audio postings of Virginia Insight by going online to WMRA.org, then clicking on programs, and then clicking on Virginia Insight. And when you get to that page, you'll find more information about all of our guests. Thanks so much for tuning in for this edition. Hope we can get together again soon for more insight.